Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
That's no word of a lie. I am Mark Dolan. It's midday. It's FUBAR Radio, the UK's largest ad-free online radio station. Over the next hour, myself and two luminaries from the world of comedy will take satirical aim at the week's big stories. Helping me to do that this week are none other than Nick Dixon and Rory O'Hanlon. Boys, welcome to the show.
Yo, yo.
It's massive. That was a very high-energy start by your standards,
well, Rory
Nick.
Well, said nothing, so I did better than him.
Well, yeah, but he's got sort of a quiet power about him.
Good morning.
You're simmering.
Yeah.
Boys, it's great to have you. We've got so many big stories to get through. Before we do that, have you had a good week yourselves in your own lives?
Great week. Good week.
It's always a great
Mine's
week.
Been awesome.
It's just great being Rory O'Hanlon, isn't it?
It's just an honour.
Where have you been this week, Rory?
I don't know. Talk about yourself.
I just threw that.
I went to Portsmouth, which was lively.
Portsmouth. What were you doing there, Mark?
I did a stand-up show there.
I did
a gig. Yeah, Jonglers. Correct. Yeah,
I did that recently.
Living the
it's
dream.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great fun. It's very energetic. But it's funny because I'm so geographically literate that when I got there. I did the gig and I came out and I saw the water and went, oh, they've got the sea here, haven't they?
Wow.
I mean, that's just terrible, isn't it? When you get to that point in your career where you go to a town and you haven't even taken into account the sort of geographical implications of the
place.
You should
never say that to the people when you get there. That's the worst thing you can say. It's like when people come to Ireland and go, you guys have got clouds. Wow.
Yeah, we don't want to hear that.
No.
We know that. We're all wet. We know that.
Yeah. I remember I was in America a long time ago and we were chatting to these guys and one guy literally said, we're in a restaurant and someone ordered a salad and a girl actually said to us, do you guys have salads in Ireland? I heard you just had potatoes.
Okay, that's lovely, isn't
it's
it?
It's great, man. Yeah.
That was a very upbeat example of racism. It was like quite jolly racism,
wasn't
it?
But it's American, so you
it
just
doesn't
go,
count as it racist.
Are you allowed to be racist about the Irish?
You are, yeah.
Yeah, but we'll just go, we won't get carried away about it, like. You know what I mean?
I mean, what racism are we allowed to have these days?
Well, it's not racism if it's about it's xenophobia,
stereotypes.
Really.
Yeah. What's the difference, though, Nick Dixon?
Well, xenophobia is nations, isn't it?
Nick knows
you're
all
just testing
about
me on.
That was good. I want to throw you a curveball early doors.
You keep throwing me curveballs, Mark.
I feel that I get the best out of you if I make it harder.
I really do.
Because you're my star student.
Oh, thanks, Mark.
Sorry, that sounded a bit grooming. Got a special present for you.
Yeah. I'm honoured to be groomed by
I'm
you.
Trapped in a loveless marriage. Do you want to hug me in my car? So, can you be...
That
I mean,
rhetorical,
you can be.
It?
It's. I remember that sort of series, Come Fly With Me, which was the Little Britain guys, David Walliams.
Yeah, well, he was blacking up.
Yeah,
that's
and I thought,
brutal.
Wait a minute, what's happened here? I thought that's the 1970s sort of came and
that
went.
That was never right.
In your comedy act, you don't either of you ever go there, do you? In terms of like
black
national,
up.
Would you? No,
have you not seen me? You not seen my act? It's nearly all about
Rory O'Hanlon.
Nick blacks up with one of his gigs.
I don't black up, but I deal with hard hitting topics. Mark.
Yes, you do. You're very edgy, actually.
Yeah, but I don't want to be like. It just comes out that way.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean?
He's just fighting. He's fighting the good fight.
Now, I like the idea of Rory O'Hanlon blacking up. He's so Celtic that I think you'd still look pale.
Probably would. Yeah.
You'd still
just
look
with
slightly
a ginger
slightly
facial hair going through.
You were like, they were like, have you seen that black guy with the freckles?
Yeah,
really funny.
Yeah. I'd have to dye everything, so it would be difficult, but yeah.
You said I'd have to dye everything.
Why?
In a very
are you
sexy
naked
way.
In this act? What is this act?
I'd have to dye my ginger nuts as well.
It's a blacking up strip act.
I mean, if you go, we're probably all going to the Edinburgh Fringe this year, I'm guessing. There will be a million jokes about the Scots being alcoholics.
Yeah, but yeah.
Is that allowed?
It is. They don't care. Scottish people don't care about
it. Obviously, they're drunk, so they don't take
it
in, do they?
No, they're not going to go, I cannot believe your man's doing jokes about us being drunk, because they know they're crack.
The African Scottish people, they're my favourite.
Yeah.
Why can Scottish people are allowed to be nationalistic, but English people aren't?
Yeah, because
English
people do it in a bad way. They take over countries and stuff like that.
Yeah,
where
Scotland when the Germans
Scotland wear a kilt and get pissed. English people take over your country.
And we have to say we're British, whereas you never, and a Scottish person would never call themselves British.
Because
and a Welsh person
would
never call themselves British. But English people, we've got to say British. I say English, mate.
Okay, now you...
It's all coming out, like.
It's perfect. There are a lot of jokes about, sort of like Polish plumbers. That's allowed, isn't it? You can just shorthand for Poles.
Is that allowed? Because Adrian Childs got pretty much in trouble for that, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Suggesting
he
the Polish doesn't. Builders were... But he were literally Polish builders working on his house, so what are you going to do?
Well, what did he say?
He referenced the builders working on
his
house.
I think it was to do with what some stadium was being built, and he went, oh, they should just use my Polish builder. He'll get it done in a weekend.
I don't know.
It was one of the many misjudged things that led to him not being on television.
Well, he got sacked. He's terrible, like. I think, do you know what I think? I think time...
Don't say that, it'll be on this station.
I think
he's
time...
He's doing the breakfast show,
specific,
starts next week.
No, 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 there's a specific time for certain people to be in the public eye, and then it just goes past them. They don't move with the times. Do you know what I mean? Like Jeremy Clarkson. It just finally caught up with him that you can't call people... And you can't punch people in the head, or you can't do the sort of his xenophobic jokes. And eventually, just goes, "What year is this guy in?"
I think it's a really interesting thing you say because I think it happens to comics too, which is that the comics who just quietly go about their business and try to be funny as they can, tend to have quite sustained careers. Nick Dixon's a good example.
Yeah, perfect.
But you do have comics who, if their thing is to push the envelope, at a certain point, there's nowhere for them to go.
No.
Julian Clary did a joke at the Comedy Awards in the 90s, and it was some reference to fisting the Chancellor's asshole, and Norman Lamont's red box or something. I don't know if you remember that gag. Killed his career.
Did it?
Yeah. It shows how, I mean, these days that wouldn't be like past the blink of an eye.
But I think about...
But it's because he'd always been extreme and they went too far. But what the audience, go on.
I think the audience coming up, like, if you think you're talking to people of the same audience the whole time, but that audience gets old and then another audience comes up and they're just going, this guy's a bit weird, isn't he? Like, you know what I mean? They don't have a problem. They don't have... The stuff that you're saying isn't shocking to them. It's no big deal to them.
Now, would you put Jimmy Carr in that category where he's a very successful comedian, and credit to him for his work ethic and his sustained success.
He's got brilliant writers.
Well, there you go. You're probably one of them.
I'm not endorsing that comment. If Jimmy's listening, I think you're great.
A basement sweatshop of... and they're all from Poland. They're actually, one of them is Adrian Charles's plumber.
I mean, Adrian Charles was down there now.
He does. But would you say, I would say an artist like that seems to have, in a way, there's no new story with someone like Jimmy Carr, because it was all very edgy stuff. And in the end, you just, I don't know, you've run out of steam a bit.
I listened to an interview where he said he was trying to get more clean and he was aiming to do clean jokes, and that was his challenge now.
I tell you what, I saw Frankie Boyle's new show. It's brilliant, like. Seriously.
The Netflix one,
yeah, okay. It's fantastic. So,
and is it just a pure stand-up show?
Yeah, it's pure stand-up show, and it's kind of... I think the targets are more... They're not as vulnerable people he's targeting, do you know what I mean? Where before he was doing jokes about Jordan's kid and stuff like that, and Jade Goody. I think it's more... He's maybe gone up for a higher targets, and it's great.
That's the interesting question about what is a higher... Targets. I heard this thing about, there's always thing about punching up and punching down. Then a comic I like in America called Kurt Metzger just said, I think of myself as on the same level as everyone. I'm just punching straight across. So I sort of feel like that. I don't know if there is punching up and down, is there?
Well, I don't know. I suppose it's just like kids with disabilities.
Does that suggest that you're
stuff?
Higher than someone? Okay, well, kids with disabilities, I could see that.
I think it should be punching.
But then again, even that, you could say you're putting yourself above someone if you're saying you're punching down. Yeah. You, in a sense, you're saying you're superior.
Yeah, I think punching up's the best option, isn't it?
No, but it is, does it really exist?
Those people can't really reply. They can only reply like in crayon, and it's rubbish handwriting. No. So, do you know what I'm saying?
I'm going to let you say that on your show.
I'm a very bad man. I tell you what, let's talk about the news, and we'll start with hookers.
Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
I've got two. You thought we were going to play a record, didn't you?
Yeah, I thought we were off. I thought I was going to comment on how bad the show was. Because last time you said it was the best show it had, and this one could be the worst.
I'm afraid you just can't win them all, is what I'm telling myself as we speak. We've got two stories about prostitution, which dovetail. One is from the mirror.co.uk, and it's the tragic porn star honoured with a blue plaque after scandalising Britain in the 1970s. Mary Millington is set to get an English Heritage blue plaque because she was one of the wealthiest and most prolific women working in the sex industry in her time, and her most successful film landed her a world record. She struggled with drugs and depression and tragically took her own life when she was 33, which is obviously very, very sad. But her famed soft porn movie, Come Play With Me, played continuously for 4 years in the old Moulin Cinema in London, Soho.
That sounds horrific.
It does sound a bit. It's a tragic story, but the bottom line is she's been acknowledged because in her own way she's made a contribution to celluloid. She made a film, lots of people watched it. Good luck to her. And this dovetails with a story that came out of France yesterday, and this is a new law that's been put in place by the French government, which is to criminalise the purchasing of sex. So the idea of this law is that the victim of the so-called crime or alleged crime is now considered to be the sex worker and the perpetrator is the customer. So the bottom line is, if you pay for a hooker in France as of today, you can receive a fine of up to £1,500. Wow. If it happens again, it will double. So my question to you chaps is, Is prostitution wrong?
Well, I'll tackle that. Why did I speak?
Dixon's going straight for it.
I'm just going straight for it.
It's a classic Nick Dixon question.
Nick Dixon.
I think it's one of those things.
He's got some material about this.
It's a bit like drugs. It's like, you know, it's one of those things. Rory's going to use it anyway. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, you may as well make it legal.
I agree. Yeah. Anything you try to ban, Rory O'Hanlon probably has quite a lot of it.
He'll be there anyway.
I think if...
You're sweating, Rory.
No. I think if...
I've never seen you so unrelaxed.
The problem is that it's the sex industry is where the problem lies. If a woman chooses to be a prostitute, right, she says, I want to do this, and then why not let her do it? If she wants to do, should she not be allowed to do it?
But is there anyone that little girls that say, Mummy, when I grow up, I'd like to...
But what I'm saying is where the problem lies is the sex industry, where people are being... kidnapped in their countries, they've been shipped around. That's all just sex trade, it's brutal.
Human trafficking.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Well, that's an interesting one, because in the UK, it's a little known fact that if you have sex with a sex slave or someone that's been trafficked, that is statutory rape. And it's a brilliant, brilliant development. It came in a few years ago. So if you go to a brothel and what you haven't got is, it's not the plucky young woman that decided she's going to supplement her income by having, by doing a bit of evil
work. Horrible.
Correct. It's somebody who, as you say, was perhaps taken from their own country, promised a secure job and a life here in the UK, and instead...
But as Nick said, if you want to do it, you can travel to Thailand or you can travel... Nick.
I was saying that before we got on air, wasn't I? Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what I do.
Nick's quite a well-known sex
tourist. He's well-travelled.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, don't ever go on his Facebook page and look through the photos.
Speaking of which, I just saw that Twitter photo of me, and I hate my new haircut. That's all I'm going to say on that.
It's a great haircut.
You're looking good, man.
Well, thanks, but I'm really not. But thank you.
I tell you what does my head in.
Okay.
Is... So and this is self-involved in a way, I think.
I know. I want to make it all about me.
Your hair's perfect. What's wrong with your hair?
I just got it cut, and I didn't like it. The guy just cut it, and I didn't like it. I think it looks too thin now.
I think your hair's great, mate.
Okay, thanks.
It's chiseled.
Okay, thank you.
When did you have it cut?
Yesterday, I don't know, days, Mark. Well, recently,
and you've
days
seen
ago.
A picture of your hair.
I just saw your Twitter. It's about the show. It's the tweet you've just put out.
Oh yes, yeah,
we're talking about people
taken.
Who could be possibly, you know, been sex.
Finish the sentence.
We're talking about the sex trade here. People who have been, their lives have been destroyed, and all Dixon's talking about is his hair.
Yeah, I know. It's more important.
He's such a metrosexual, isn't he?
No, that's what comedians are like.
Yeah, it's dreadful.
Do you know
isn't
what
it?
I mean?
Carry on with your sex story then.
I think your haircut's
carry
good.
On about
all I'll
people.
Do is I'd like people's comments on whether they think Nick's.
Last time I made it about my girlfriend. This time I made it about my hair.
Nice.
No, I have a girlfriend.
Thanks for bringing it up.
I think it's obviously that question for all guys, which is, I mean, if your hair is thinning a little bit, mine is thinning a little bit, do you actually just bite the bullet and cut it all off, or what do you do?
Mine's
I mean,
not, that might mine's be not your, at that stage yet, I've been told.
It's so too
don't,
soon.
Don't tar me with that brush.
No.
Well,
no,
mine because looks I was, like yours when it comes longer. Though.
I was thinking of anticipating. It probably won't really kick in until like 5 or 10 years from now, but I thought just get rid of it now so no one notices. Yeah.
You've probably got enough money for a hair transplant, Mark. That's what
I wish,
you should go for.
I wish. That would be a lovely thing to do. I might get FUBAR to sponsor it, and we'll do it live on the show.
They get FUBAR on the back.
I see you as the kind of guy doing it. Because that changed Jeremy. I mean, this is not about the story. That changed Jeremy Piven's career, for example. He was bald back in the day in the 90s on Ellen and things and Larry Sanders. Then he was now a sort of leading man type of guy. He's on Entourage. Hair, he's all stacked. And it changed Jeremy. What's the other guy? Jimmy Nesbitt.
Yeah.
Kevin Spacey, Ben Folds. I mean,
who's Ben Folds?
The singer Ben Folds. That's a bit esoteric for this show. But the
has
point
Ben
is,
Folds had a
definitely.
A hair
I saw him in 1999. He didn't really have hair.
1999.
You're taking the piss out of my accent. Yeah. Right.
I saw him in 1999. Why
is that xenophobia or racism? I don't know.
A bit of both, really.
That's, that's class.
I saw him in 1999.
That's just the touch of my real accent coming out from this.
He's proper northern.
Proper disdain really going in your direction. But listen, look, hold fire on that.
We might derail the show,
that conversation up, but we don't mind the occasional detour. But let's get back on the main road.
Yes.
And here's the thing which I think upsets me about the culture of continental politics. Because, I mean, this dovetails, I think, with Brexit. Okay, and here's why. I think we should stay in the EU. I believe in it. I think it's a club. I think that if you're in a club, it's human nature to look after fellow members. It's just like a pack mentality. If we're not in that club anymore, we're the enemy, as far as I'm concerned. So we should stay in the EU. But this sort of micromanaging of people's lives strikes me as typical of the kind of stuff that gives UKIP a platform. The French are trying to say,
French again.
It's the 21st century, and do you know what our big idea is? With a collapsing economy, they are knee-deep in structural debt. France has got spiraling unemployment, appalling integration problems, crime. It's France is a frigging mess,
and you can't even pay for sex. It's going to get worse.
And now, do you know what I mean? How are you going to relax?
Give the guys a break over there, man.
But I think this, which is, I love the idea that the French have decided that they're going to criminalize. Everyone knows is the first ever, or the oldest occupation is the prostitution. Mm. That's what they say.
So they're hitting the real people.
Can you, the idea that you've got so much faith in the state that you can criminalize something that's going to happen anyway? Discuss.
Well, you see, the problem is what goes on behind closed doors. Women are getting beaten up. People have been trafficked. It's not like...
And that's just your social life.
That's just with me. But you know what I mean? This is what happens. It's not like everyone's happy and it's these men are coming in and it's, oh, I bought you flowers. You're so beautiful. It's not what you're painting it out. You're romanticising it. But as Nick said, in places like Thailand, it's not like that.
I mean, I think I'm going to fess up for you. Has anyone here visited a lady of the night?
No. I've got a girlfriend. That came up before. A beautiful girlfriend. Why would I need to do that?
You would never need to. I did. And obviously, I was never going to go through
what?
With it. I just want to get an idea of prices.
Idea of prices.
I know. I actually
Were you opening up a competitive?
Well, I was, yeah. I was more interested in... I was curious, you know, are there snacks? You know what I mean? Is there like a bowl of jelly beans or maybe some fun-sized Mars bars? What do we... You know what I mean? Do I get a coffee?
I tell you one thing.
Do they have a coffee machine?
Or who wants a coffee?
Did you answer any of these questions?
And then in the end... So I brought out like my money and everything. And she just said, like, I just want to be friends, you know?
She said to you.
Yeah.
She just want to be Facebook friends.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. She said, I just really saw you as a friend, you know?
That's hilarious.
Talk.
She put you in the friend zone.
She put me in the friend zone.
The worst zone to
now
be
Now I can't tell if you were just setting up a clever joke or if you really did do
no,
this.
No, what I've done is I've set up
Did you do a TV show about it, no?
I wish I had. No, yeah. I didn't. Rupert Everett did a series about prostitution. But no, what I've done there, Nick, is I've set the precedent of doing a bit of material within the chat, which I know you're going to be doing later.
The challenge of
our audience is to work out when you're into your material. But here's the thing. It's not like Old Rope or Setlist or anything like that. There is no shame in doing material on this show.
Okay.
The trick is for us to not notice.
Okay.
Nothing that
that's
Rory
funny because I was
said,
at the hairdresser the other day and
here
no,
we go.
No.
Dun, dun, dun.
We were talking about Des O'Connor tonight. Des O'Connor tonight, and he was a genius at getting comedians to do material because in the end,
Des O'Connor tonight.
He didn't.
What a hip reference.
He didn't really do it very subtly.
Damn with the kids.
But he would say, "So Rory, great to have you on the show."
I know. Yeah. But it's only obvious to you and me. It's not obvious to the people.
Well,
at home.
Yeah, but I think it got more and more obvious.
So
as
tell
time.
Me this much: have you been traveling lately?
That's the American chat shows, isn't
that's
it?
Terrible.
So what about ice cream? something happened to you with an ice cream?
Yeah. So what age are your kids now? It's like what?
No, that's right. Des O'Connor was a devil for it. He was like, "I hear you've been traveling on low-cost airlines recently. Tell me more."
So how's your parking going?
I would always just undermine that and go, "What? I don't know what you're talking about." That's why I'm not
so,
on the show.
So, Nick Dixon, what are your views on psoriasis? You know,
I've got nothing.
No
on
one
that.
Does anything on psoriasis, and I think they should because it's a funny condition.
So I heard someone do a joke.
It's a painful
yeah.
condition, actually.
Is it really?
I haven't had it personally, but I know people who have, and they've suffered.
He's railroading this show, man.
He owns it. He's bossing it, as they say. And you've got this tragic porn star. Okay, I can stop using the term tragic. It just comes from the article. But anyway, well, obviously it is a bit.
You're painting a picture here, man. That's a very Irish thing to do. It's a tragedy. It's a tragic hot weather. Like, they paint everything that it's particularly
true.
Sad.
It's all
like,
very
you know,
dramatic.
Do you start talking in headlines now when you're at home?
I'm afraid I do, yeah.
Tragic porn star. You can't help it with your wife.
Those scrambled eggs are tragic.
Failed radio presenter comes home.
Definitely. No, it's true, and and then of course there's another question which dovetails with. I mean, you guys haven't. I think you've essentially both said that prostitution is not inherently wrong. It's just the
you're putting words in our mouth. There.
I'm not just. Well, I think you're saying is essentially you love it. You bloody love
what
it.
What you both lads are saying is it's all good.
I think the French are crazy because I do it on a serious note. I think it'll drive it underground, and that's worse.
Yeah,
that's
worse. I'm on these legalize everything people and let people make their own choices. Down with the nanny state. I'm basically Ayn Rand. That's a weird reference, but I'm more. I get these libertarian ideas. Legalize everything.
The whole world's crazy anyway, man. Look at the people who are in power are up to. So they're just
okay.
They're picking off stuff, but like everyone, look at what the banking people have done. Look what you know the politicians of the countries have done. The whole place is crazy.
It is, and they got bigger fish to fry than some ladies who are trying to make a bit of money as an alternative to perhaps committing crimes or other stuff. What about pornography? This woman has had a blue plaque. Now there are some like venerated directors and writers and actors who have
Jimi
had
Hendrix
blue,
has
blue
one.
Plaque.
There's a place in Soho. It's in Soho, isn't it? Is that where he was born, or is that where he died?
I think he lived there.
He lived there.
I'm not sure if he died there.
He died in London, though, did he?
Yes, I think he did. It's a brilliant, brilliant set of plaques which defines the great history of London, because you've got.
I think they're cool. Like,
Well, do you know the great thing
I don't
about
know if
that
she
one?
Warrants one. I don't even know.
But you need to check out.
At the risk of being a pedant, she hasn't actually got one. The organisation said they're not actually behind it. It's just in the style of the blue plaques.
Oh,
so someone's just knocked up a blue plaque.
Boom.
So it's a bit, it's a fake blue plaque, like a fake orgasm.
Yeah.
Excuse the pun.
Well, I think that's appropriate too.
Nick, he's always working. Someone knocked up. You know what I mean?
Classic. I didn't mean to do that.
Classic
actually.
Dick.
It just pours out of me.
I'll just tell you on the Jimi Hendrix one. There are two buildings next to each other, and there are two black plaques, right? And it's in Soho.
There's two blacks. There's two black lads living next door.
A paddy. And then a paddy that's blacked up, but he's still pale. What's brilliant
this
is
will be the last
you've got
show.
Two. It is. It probably is. You've got two buildings next to each other, and one is Jimi Hendrix lived here from that year to that year. And next door is another blue plaque, and it says George Friedrich Handel lived here from this year to this year. And you just go, "Welcome to London."
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And who's better?
And then underneath it says Joe Dolan, Irish singer-songwriter, had a cigarette outside this building in 1974.
That's flying over everyone's head if they don't know Joe Dolan.
I don't know.
Is he quite a big name
that.
In Ireland?
No, not really. No, he probably during the 70s and 80s he was. Hmm. And it's the whole story is hilarious. It's very Father Ted-esque.
Is it?
Like he never came out of the closet, but it was clearly he was a gay man, but it was very much he's the bachelor.
Is that really branded as just a single guy?
They thought if he came out it would ruin his career, because the 70s in Ireland there was no such thing as people openly being gay. It was very much
his mum's going, "Why do I let you see you with a nice girl?"
It was very much like he's never found someone. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he loves his mother. The only love he has is for his mother. Like, do you know
what
I mean?
Irish have this?
Do the Irish?
Do they have the same?
Stop mocking English people, Roy.
Slavish love of camp entertainers, because the English are preoccupied.
All English people are gay.
I think you're probably right.
I've never. If you look at every.
Ask Maria.
English entertainer. They all dress up as women. I don't know what it is. It's the two Ronnies.
John Cleese did it.
And Monty Python always dressed up as women.
Yeah. What you're describing is
Dick
public
Emery,
school
Benny
people.
Hill. It goes on and on.
Let's draw a line, Roy.
Oh, no, that's not true. No, that's not true. Les Dawson did it. With Ada and what do you remember?
They all dress up as women. I don't understand it. Like, what's it called as well? Little Britain. Everything
correct.
David Williams.
This is getting a bit too transphobic for me. So
all of our entertainers, a lot of our big entertainers have been camp.
David Williams, is that his name? David Williams.
David Williams.
Everything he does is
dress up as women. Does that threaten you, Rory, when they do that?
Not at all. I'm just saying.
But you know, Kenneth Williams. Graham Norton. Larry Grayson.
He's Irish.
We have
Graham
constantly had these Irish general interchange work. But what about the Irish? What is the Irish relationship to camp?
We didn't really have a huge sort of camp star. There's a new guy, a very popular comedian at the moment in Ireland, Al Porter.
Yeah, who's very young.
He's very young.
I'm working with him at the Glee at the end of this month.
Yeah, and he is he's a superstar in Ireland, and he's extremely camp. And he's just the biggest deal ever. Like,
so maybe he reflects a watershed in the culture.
Maybe
there.
We're about 25 years behind the rest of the world.
It's because you guys are so repressed that you like to see someone flamboyant because you wish you could be like that. I'm just putting it out there now, but I'm pretty sure I'm right.
That coming from an Englishman is pretty rich, I've got to say.
We're the same, broadly speaking.
Of course we are.
Not quite as bad.
Is pornography, and this is what I was getting to before I was so brutally interrupted, is pornography an art form?
No.
No, you said that with like authority.
Because it's
like,
gross.
You've
like,
checked.
I've watched way too much of it, and I've hit rock bottom at it. It's gross.
That's
like,
more about you, Roy, than
it's affecting the world without it. I mean, the French will probably be a lot happier. Really?
I think it's affecting society. I think it's affecting how people react with women, how they think their sex life is going to be like. I think it's going to really.
Has that been a problem for you?
No. And I think as the generations get more and more into it, as it's more available, I think it's going to affect a lot of people. Yeah,
I'm so glad that a young funny man about town. Is saying these things, because I've long thought it, but I don't want to sound like
your local
vicar. Because the problem with it, I mean, titillation is great, nudity, shagging,
but look what
we all
doing
love
to each
it.
Other, like it's...
But it's very fake, and it's generally it's inherently misogynistic.
Yeah,
I think.
It's totally misogynistic, and it's giving people an unsort of. People are going to be sort of...
But there are bad things about it too.
Yeah. The expectation levels of people now must be very extreme. What men think girls are going to be up
the
for.
The worst thing is that youngsters are getting sex education from pornography.
Yeah, it's dreadful.
And apparently the incidence of anal sex has skyrocketed among like 16 and 17-year-old girls.
As Nick said, anal sex is... If you liked it, it's up to you.
Good luck to you.
You know you're getting a bit older when you say the phrase youngsters, don't you?
Yeah. I know, it's a good point.
I don't want to have a go at it.
Now, Nick, you've never seen pornography. So what we're going to do is get some up for you now and get a reaction.
I've seen my fair share. I'm not on my high horse about pornography. No, I agree basically with what Rory said. It does. It's one of those things you just want to take it away from me. Don't even give me the option. So that's one of the things where you do want the nanny state a little bit.
I think it should just be cut off completely.
Just cut it off.
Just cut it off. It's not necessary.
What about all the people that make a living from it?
Fuck them, man.
that's a perfect expression. And on that note...
No, it's gross, man. Okay.
Here's what you're listening to.
Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
Radio is 12:26. We've got a lot of big stories to come. We're going to be talking about a father who blasts the madness of a trip to the cinema, which cost him £70. And we're going to find out the way that you hang your toilet roll reveals something about your personality type. All the hard-hitting stories here on Mark Dolan Eats the News. First up, here's a cheeky bit of Roxanne and the Police.
Days are over. You don't have to say.
There you go. Cheeky bit of Sting and Roxanne on Fubar Radio, the UK's largest ad-free online radio station. It's 12:30. This is Mark Dolan Eats the News, and with me in the studio, Nick Dixon and Rory O'Hanlon, who are now in a position to quickly plug, sell their wares. Rory, is there anywhere you'd like us to see you this week or in the next few weeks?
No.
Get any notable...
No, I have a podcast. It's this happened last week, and you can find it on Twitter at Rory O'Hanlon Comedy. Check that out, and we'll tell you.
Even
what
though I, it pains me to
he
say
means
it.
Ah, it's the English people. When he said "or," he meant "ah."
He did. Yeah, you're right.
Just
to point
clearing that up.
No, you are right.
What did I say? What did I say?
Or. That's an Irish thing. Don't worry, I've had Irish friends. They mean "ah."
Yeah. I pronounce it "or." Right.
Can I ask it's you what ah. is it, what is Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom? What is it as a thing, as a piece of work, as a genre? What do we? Or Star Wars? What is it? A starts with F, ends in M. There you go. Say it again.
Film.
That's my other classic, my favourite Irish thing. Film. Now.
I know.
I'm getting bullied here by two English blokes.
Terrible.
My dad says it. Seamus Dolan Esquire. Shall we go to see a film tonight?
Is your dad really Irish? Have you?
Yeah. Really? I'm a plastic paddy.
Huh.
So yes. Is your mother Irish as well?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
I'm afraid so.
So you've come from a totally dysfunctional family, like.
Absolutely.
Wow, I didn't know.
I've always wanted to do a gig in... I've never really gigged in Ireland.
Yeah,
I've always
great.
Wanted to start with the opening line, which is I'm my parents are Irish, but I was born in England. So I'm sort of... I'm Irish in that I like a drink and I'm quite social, and I'm English in that I'm a cunt. Would that play all right?
No, it would play well because...
Is that going too far?
No. Irish people are like, oh, yeah, this guy's hilarious.
Weirdly, and then we shouldn't get to track, but it's a hard not to with you. See, I've always thought, because we know that the Scots hate the English, right? That's very clear.
Mm.
There's genuine enmity there, right?
Yeah.
I've never really felt much hatred to the English by the Irish. Now, is that just because it's not in the nature of the Irish? I mean, I know we had the whole Republican thing and the IRA.
Yeah.
So there was a degree of hatred which was channeled in military ways.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's how the Irish roll, is
no,
it? To
I don't,
hate
no,
people?
No, not really, no, no. No, no. I think Irish people are quite passive.
Yeah.
We're good crank, like. We're not that bothered.
I mean, the Scots hate the English probably more than the Irish, right?
Yeah, because I think maybe because...
Because you guys won.
Yeah, and I think maybe because England still has a huge say in Scottish society and Scottish government. We're in Ireland. In the Republic of Ireland, they don't have any inkling at all. Right? No.
So actually, there's no grounds for the hatred
not
because
really,
you
no.
guys are doing your own thing.
No. Besides... no, there's not.
Because the English, I mean, in a way, the English have been way worse to the Irish than the Scots over the years, in a sense.
They have, yeah, absolutely. Well, but I'm from Southern Ireland, so I wouldn't, there'd be no, I'd have no kind of, we wouldn't have seen what was going on
no,
elsewhere.
No, but like 200 years ago, the English landlords were properly.
Yeah, they were proper, you know. They took all our food, like, you know.
Yeah, that wasn't great, was it? That
no.
was like, that
they
was a
took
bit
all the potatoes.
What happened to me being able to plug my bit?
It's a good point.
Well, yeah.
Rory does a lot of stuff about the potato famine and about general poverty in Ireland in the 18th century, but no, you don't.
No.
You do gags about going out and having a girlfriend.
Oh, I do. Yeah. I do gags about Nick. Just stuff that's funny, like.
So your podcast.
Check out my podcast. This happened last week. It's at Oro Hanlon Comedy, which is my Twitter feed, which you'll find on Fubar, the Twitter feed. And check that out. I'll tell you what I'm up to, where I'm going, everything that you need
it's
to know about
absolutely
me.
Absolutely brilliant. And the way why I credit it so much is because I have never had the cajones to sit and record a piece of radio without someone to like hold my hand and walk through it like you guys are doing today. Mm. But you sit there, you open the fader and you just talk.
That's it, man.
Did you, the first time, were you not like freaked out by that?
Not really, no. No, the first time I just did it to just put it out. But I do prepare for it and stuff like that. Not,
I think
not
it should
a huge
be,
amount,
should be like an American talk show.
How do you
show?
Prepare? Just like, what have I been up to? Oh, yeah.
He's so cynical, isn't he?
He is, really.
It's that English attitude, isn't it? If he was American, you'd go, good for you, man. Happy for you. English, like, what are you
it's
doing?
Not English,
but
it's
what
Northern
I like
man.
About it yeah. is that it's a very funny podcast because although you do sort of talk about, it's interesting for comedians because you talk about gigs you've been to and ones that were good. But then you also go, you start. Improvising about like some funny stuff.
Mm, thanks, Mark.
You know. Have you ever taken anything you put in the podcast and then done as material?
Not really. You probably should because some of it is quite funny that you could transfer into
like your stuff about people that have like comedy Christmas jumpers around Christmas time, which you said originally was a sign of someone having a sense of humour and being a bit out there, a bit quirky. But now it is just shorthand for this person is an unwitting
twat.
Nick wears Christmas jumpers, but
you're
no.
the most cynical, Rory. You say things like that all the time. I mean, it is funny, but like everything you say, you take the piss, don't you? Constantly. I can never even tell when you're serious.
That's Nick's. I always sound sarcastic. That's just an Irish trait, like
I think it is. Yeah.
But it's a good thing.
He always tried to tell me a true story once, and I kept going, "Are you serious though? Are you taking a piss?" And then I kept going, "No, he's serious." Then I was like, "No, he's not." And I never knew, and it kept. And I was constantly in a state of it never resolved.
I think it's the comedian's disease, because I think it's our general mode to be ironic about stuff, and therefore when we're trying to be serious, no one is having any of it.
Yeah, like, I do have that problem.
Is this another bit? Are you doing your bit now?
Yeah, you have to say after I meant that. You have to often say that was a genuine compliment. I know it didn't sound like one, but I meant it.
Yeah. Will you marry me? I actually meant that.
Yeah. That is a problem.
So what about you? Now tell us what you're up to.
Oh, thanks for asking. I'm at Leicester Square Theatre supporting Tom Stade this month, 8th and 9th of April. We got a very nice review in the Times yesterday. I don't know if you saw it, Mark, but
obviously
it was a nice review of the gig. I'm not going to read it out on air, but if you go,
if you let him, he would.
If you go to my Twitter,
have you got an adjective or a line that you can take from the review and put
man
onto
of the
your posters?
Check this out.
Hugely
right?
engaging.
He has it on his phone.
This is what you're
going to
do,
Rory.
This is how it works. Hugely engaging. How about that? The Times.
Go further, man. Tell us more.
Yeah, that's Tom Stade.
You want to hear the whole thing?
Yeah, come on.
There was a hugely engaging sport act from Nick Dixon, providing every man glimpses of London life from the vantage point of a cheerless bedsit and a seat on the tube. Naturally, the capital wasn't seen at its best. A refugee from the Lake District, Dixon cheerfully, effortlessly rubbed our noses in the grime.
Always has to bring up the refugees, doesn't
he? So what's interesting,
obsessed with it.
Apparently, I'm an everyman, which was a great relief to meet him, and cheerful even. I didn't know any of those things. That was actually on the worst night of the tour. I could barely talk. I lost my voice. And then I suddenly was asked to not do a bit of material just 2 minutes before the show started for complicated reasons. So I had lost my closer. So the point is, that was my worst show. But even at my worst, Mark, the Times caused me hugely engaging. So
I don't want to piss on the chips.
He's just an everyman.
I think they...
I was so proud of being an everyman.
I don't want to spoil the party here, but I think there's been some confusion because Tom Stade is famously from the Lake District. And I think... No, mate, well done. That's great
news. I didn't
meet
Tom Stade. I don't think it was my place, but that was my
bit. Who cares? I'm all about Nick Dixon.
And you got that on a T-shirt now. You can get that quote on T-shirts.
When you're like warming up some supporting someone on their tour, how long do you do? How many minutes?
Well, it was 25, then it came down to 20, but it's 20.
And is it 20 and then there's an interval and then the act, or is it 20?
That's exactly
and then
it. That's exactly it. And most people have
But that's a short part, isn't it, 20?
It's perfect.
But you've got to, they don't know who you are, so you've got to, there's been an incredibly nice response. Most people have really gone for it. There's only one woman
but you're
in
an
Bristol.
Every man, you know what
Thanks,
I mean?
Thanks, mate. There was one woman in Bristol just shouted, "Where's Tom Stade?" in a nasty way
as
well.
That's a great one.
And I was just establishing myself, doing jokes, people were liking it, me just getting established. And it hurt me so much, I just wanted to walk off, but I didn't. I, slammed her in classic comedic fashion.
Of course you did, yeah.
And everyone, at the end, I got a bigger response because people love adversity and triumph. The irony is, she was so drunk, she got kicked out and never got to see Tom Stade. That was the sad thing.
Yeah.
But many people
surprise me if that was actually Tom Stade.
it was. Stressed as a woman.
Yeah. See, it was such a nasty way to say it, and she was just being nasty and drunk. And then the next night, I accidentally said I supported Man United in Hull, and then someone was like, "Bring on Tom." And that's a funny way of doing it. That was all right.
Was fine. That was banter.
That was banter, but like the way she said it. But I'm also at the Comedy Store 15th and 16th of this month. So
he's killing it, man.
You are killing it. You're killing it.
Doing both shows on the Friday and Saturday.
When you are supporting someone like Tom,
Rory loves it.
You're a bad
follow
man.
Me on Twitter at Nick Dixon with two X's. See you later, guys. We're out.
Well done. Except we've got, unfortunately, 22 minutes to go. But don't worry about it. Now, when you're supporting another comedian, especially a big name like Tom, who is a fantastic comedian,
one of the best.
Do you feel like your mentality? You got to be careful not to be too good.
that can be an issue, but I feel like I've nailed that. They're there to see Tom. He always does much better than me, but I've been they've been really nice to me. You get Twitter followers and things from gigs. You don't get them from the clubs, but they see you at a theatre. There's a sort of stamp of approval if you're supporting someone like Tom Stade.
I think it's
and people
good.
Already think you're going to be good.
I tell you what I think, Rory, because it's a very delicate. It's a little bit like being an MC. You want to be as good as you can be, but then you sort of don't want to upstage anyone or outshine anyone.
Yeah.
And maybe it's the same when you're supporting a comic. I suppose it's the way you do it. Like if Nick was getting people on their feet and doing crowd work, and his punters on stage and custard pies, and I think then he's like, okay, I think we're gonna have to find a new
rein
support.
It in.
Yeah, but you've got to be careful. There have been tours where the support has just been a genius,
yeah,
and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, but I think people need to... I think if you are the main headline act, people are coming to see you, and that's an extra 15% of laughter. Like,
yeah, yeah, in general, yeah. You should get the best support actor you can, I think.
People love it. When people are paying, like, 20 quid to come and see you, they absolutely love you.
You've got to go
some
to fuck it up.
It's like when someone goes to see Michael McIntyre. They've travelled to see this guy. They really, really want to see him. So the support act will get laughter, but he'll never get as... I don't think you'll get as much love as the headline.
I think you might be right, but I did do a corporate a couple of years ago with a very big name telecomic and a support act, which was Sean Collins. He's a funny guy, Canadian.
He's very good.
Anyway, Sean killed, and then the guy that's the big star... was like mediocre.
Well, how big a star was he like?
It was Jack White.
Oh,
it's fine. It's
dropping bombs.
It's fine. It was fine, but it wasn't as good as. I watched that and thinking, shit, you know, Sean stormed it.
I once saw there was a show. I asked Tom about this actually. There was that Ben Elton show he did on those. Was it the Dave thing? Where you'd had like three comics.
Yeah.
He was coming back and he hadn't done stand up for a bit. And then he put Tom on. I think Tom said it wasn't really up to him. It was just one of those things that was organized. And Tom, at the peak of his powers, Tom Stay, you know, in the clubs every night, he comes on, destroys it. Then Ben Elton, he's like, he looked very rusty. So that is a danger.
Yeah.
The other one I
careful.
Heard was Paddy McGuinness. Let's just name names. I heard that one where apparently it was in Terry Alton's hometown. At the last minute, he was like, we need a support act. Get him. He sounds fine. Gets one of the most
Terry
incredible
is unbelievably
performers.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. In his own town. And of course, couldn't follow his own support. That's when you've gone too far with it. But
it's
mainly
challenging.
You want someone to be really
yeah,
good.
Yeah, but I think if you're selling out stuff, you should be well capable of doing the job. You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Although I must say that what you do is I think you have to select someone who's different to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then you won't be compared.
Yeah.
And you couldn't be less like Tom Stade if you tried.
I know, exactly. The only thing we both have in common is quality. But apart from that, it was very different.
In 1975, when Elton John was the biggest solo artist on the planet, and in the year 1975, which is the year after the Goodbye Yellow Brick Road album came out, Elton John was responsible for 3% of world record sales.
Wow.
That means that 3 in every 100 records sold in 1975 was an Elton John record. So
holy smoke.
Big stuff. So he played Wembley Stadium, which was unusual at that time to play Wembley Stadium, an actual stadium, and he filled it. And he had a lesser-known band on who were just like on the scene, just, you know. And they'd made that judgment of finding a band that were going to be good but not as good as Elt, except it was the Eagles.
Wow. Holy smoke.
And they killed.
Yeah, I heard.
And Elton struggled, and it was a tough gig.
One year, Slane, which is a big, massive outdoor concert in Dublin.
Yeah, Slane Castle.
I don't know how many people that get into that, but it must be
50,000.
Something huge
it's
like
massive,
that. And one year, Richard Ashcroft. No, maybe it was The Verve. Remember The Verve?
Yeah, of course.
They had that, The Drugs Don't Hurt. And they were massive at the time. And
don't work, I think.
Drugs Don't Work. And what they... Look, so cynical.
Sorry, mate.
What they did was they had...
John, Tom Stay.
They had Robbie Williams open for it, and Robbie Williams blew the shit out of the place.
Of course he did, yeah.
And then The Verve died in their arse. And then the following year, Robbie Williams was headlining Slane.
Yeah, of course he was.
Because Irish people love Robbie Williams.
That's amazing.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They do, yeah. There's a castle there, isn't
there?
It's
phenomenal.
It's a great, great venue.
It's
and you two have played iconic gigs.
I saw
you
two there. Oasis have played there. Verve, Robbie Williams,
Bananarama,
Guns N' Roses.
Uh-huh.
Jedward, all the top acts.
Let's talk about some more news stories. An angry dad blasts cinemas for price madness as trip with kids costs 70 quid. Now, here's the thing, right? So you've got a guy, he's gone to the cinema chain of View.
Yeah.
And he's bought these tickets. He said, I'm no penny pincher. I've been at work all week. When it gets to the weekend, I want to do something with my kids. But he's very angry because the nachos were £5.50 and they weren't very big. The essential story is that if you go to the cinema, the tickets are expensive-ish, but not crazy. Anything from sort of £7-8 to maybe £15 for tickets to the cinema. And he's angry because of how much the extras cost, which is the drink, the popcorn, etc. The View Cinema actually replied to a tweet that he sent about it. And they said,
It's a generally well-reported fact that the majority of the money taken at the box office goes to the filmmaker slash distributor. Therefore, in order to make cinemas a viable business, all cinemas charge premium prices for the food and drinks sold. The alternative is to charge a high price for tickets, which would restrict more people from enjoying the cinema. However, this said, we do aim to provide value, and you will find a variety of combos and special offers that save you money. Please note, you are able to bring your own food and drink into the cinema rather than purchasing from our confectionery stands. This is with the exception of hot food and alcohol. And that is a win. That is a boom. That is a slam dunk for the View cinema chain. And hopefully a nail in the coffin to these people that go on the internet and just complain that stuff that they don't have to buy is too expensive. Discuss.
Well, the cinema is crazy money. And I fair enough, the money's going to whoever. But I wanted to go and see X film in... I think it was in Shepherd's Bush. What's the big shopping centre in Shepherd's Bush?
Westfield.
And I think it was 21 quid. It was in 3D and you got glasses. And so I said, for 21 quid, I'd want to be in the film. Do you know what I mean?
No, you really would. Yeah.
So I said, no, I'm not going.
21 quid?
It was something crazy like that. Yeah. But to go to the cinema in Leicester Square could cost you 16 quid.
Yeah.
That's like 23 euros.
Of course, it's a lot of money, but yeah. I mean, you don't have to buy popcorn. I actually never buy. When I go to cinema, I have a complete rucksack full of treats.
You're like everything. This guy in the comment. I started reading. There was so many comments on this article. There was hundreds. I started reading one where the guy had put. I go quite often, usually with a large coat on, stuffed with bags of M&Ms and pop. It is like so.
It's so weird.
Absolutely,
doesn't it?
Really stuffed does. With bags. Of
Jesus.
Yeah. I've
got a whole bit on this in my act. If you come and see me do comedy, I'm not going to do it right now. I've just typed.
Let's have a taste of it.
A taste of it.
So I'm going to do a Des O'Connor tonight. I'm going to go. So Nick Dixon, I hear you've been going to the cinema a lot recently.
Well, it's quite a whole bit.
Was that a good line?
My Odeon, the local one, Odeon. I was looking at reviews. I was looking at just trying to see what was on at the cinema. I found myself reading reviews of it by accident. And one guy had put, as you'd expect, the concessions are priced astronomically highly, but they don't search one the way in, so it's easy to smuggle in a tray of sandwiches and a flask of tea.
That's perfect.
And then I was just like, who's this guy? You know what I mean? On a date, like, you know, should we get some food? Don't worry, got it covered. You know what I mean? What's that in your trousers?
All of these, a flask.
But I'm not going to do the whole bit because it's 2 minutes. But
these people sound like dirty old men, don't they? With their coats full of stuff.
I know, it's hilarious. I mean, it's like a killjoy picnic, isn't it? You go and get all the stuff. You bring it in. You've sort of taken the fun out of it a little bit, haven't you?
I went to see Batman Superman a couple of nights ago, and I took... I mean, it was, like, ridiculous. It was a
haul. I heard that's a great film.
Is it any good?
It's all right.
I can't get my head around
it. It's too dark.
Why is Superman and Batman having a scrap? And people keep... all these nerds keep telling me, you need to read the comic books. I'm not reading a comic book.
I think it's literally a metaphor that the film franchises are consuming each other now.
Yeah, I just think it's a bit much.
It's a race to the bottom. It really is. But I went in there and I had, like, Snickers. I had a pint of milk. I had sandwiches.
That's the Irish shit, isn't it? White bread with butter on it.
And a big bag of Meow Meow, which just got me through the end bit when Ben Affleck's getting emotional. And it's not... But what I think is this, as a wider point, which is this culture of people just moaning about stuff that just isn't a problem. Mm. And that's one of the big problems with that. If you give everyone a platform, which is what the internet is, you're going to get non-stories like this.
Yeah, well, the other thing is this, he was moaning about it and it was 70 quid and no one's kind of figured out how he actually managed to spend 70 quid because he's had to spend like 50 quid on lectures and stuff. People, it is an odd... I went to Ant-Man in the daytime. As a comic, you can go to the cinema in the day and the problem with that is all the other losers without jobs are there. And there was a guy watching anime. He wasn't even watching the film. He was just on his phone the whole time. He made three separate phone calls. That's in amazing. The film.
Yeah.
He wasn't even watching it, but he had an incredible amount of food and he had to light up with his iPhone torch. I'm like, you've just come to like a terrible dark restaurant. Like, why are you eating in the cinema? Do you know what I mean? So you don't need to spend £5 on nachos, do you? You're right.
No, you don't. But don't you think we've people got complaining. This culture
oh,
of
yes.
people complaining
well, yeah,
about...
Well, obviously. I mean,
I'm
then,
sick of it.
And then people comment and they're wasting their time as well, the whole and thing. And then we're discussing it on the radio, the whole thing.
You've got people... It's our fault, I know. We're giving oxygen to these people. But you've got women who are told off for breastfeeding. It's like, all right, whatever. And then you've got someone has a KFC and they find a staple in it or a paperclip or a fax machine. Who cares? All right, life is dangerous. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, man. Yeah. People will complain about everything.
And they have everything. The Daily Mail have got a shorthand for it now, and they call it sad face stories.
Oh, God. Where it's like, oh, we went to the shopping centre and we found a spider in our banana and we're really sad about that. And all the supermarket did is offer us £10 of vouchers. What an insult.
I think you just need to tell people life is not fair. Do you know what I mean? That's how it is.
Well, let's talk about skinny women after this.
Oh. Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
Now, this one's been trending all week. An irresponsible, irresponsible Gucci advert slammed over unhealthily thin and gaunt models. Yes, the advertising watchdog ruled Gucci had breached the rules, while the fashion retailer claimed the models were toned and slim. Okay, so this is the age-old perennial about models, should they be skinny or not. My suggestion would be that fashion is by definition a fantasy. It's by definition unrealistic. It's by definition aspirational. Let the models be thin. They look better than the not thin models. Discuss.
Yeah, well, this is the very zenith. Look it up, Rory. Of what you of what you just talked about. Who's calling? Because someone complained.
Who's the person complaining? Yeah, like?
Who's calling and said they're too thin? I'm seeing something on my screen. It's too thin. It's too thin.
Lazy, big, fat person sat in their armchair watching Jeremy Kyle.
This is coming up everywhere. People are complaining about stuff because they're not good looking. You know what I mean? Get over it. Like, they're too skinny. They're doing what they are. They're skinnier than you. That's your problem. Okay, so they're too skinny. They're giving people unfair aspirations. You're either a model or you're not.
I watched the advert. They were a bit skinny, but not skinny enough for me to pick up my phone and go, I'm seeing someone too skinny. I don't know. Yeah.
Clearly we don't want ill people, but there is something about fashion, which is, you know, but fashion is, well, this is a very subjective question, but don't thin people look better than people that aren't thin? I mean, is thin better? That's a bigger question.
These ones were too thin.
As Kate Moss says, nothing tastes as good as skinny.
I like it when you quote Kate Moss. Yeah, man. She's your guide, isn't
Let's look at ourselves.
She's my hero.
Rory, you look after yourself. I know you do. And you don't drink. You probably go to the gym a few times a week.
I do a lot of stuff,
You do bits and bobs.
Yeah. Pumping the whey protein shakes.
Easy up, Nick.
I'm willing to guess that when you are like eating well and you're a little bit slimmer, that you look and feel better.
I do personally.
And when you've put on weight, you hate yourself a bit more.
Are you fat shaming here, Mark? On food? Well,
the thing is, I have the same thing. Yeah. So I enjoy carbohydrates. And I also, I like beer. And beer gives you a beer belly.
Yeah.
And so those times when I'm a little bit porkier, after Christmas, Easter.
Do you feel a bit lousy?
I feel lousy. And also, I ride a scooter. And when I go over the road bumps, I feel a wobble in my tummy. I shit you not. So therefore, when I then abstain for, let's say, a month or two, and I'm in the shower, and I look down. And
Where's the story going?
And then I take my manhood in my hands. And I think of Nick Dixon.
Yeah.
What happens is that I look down and I see a flat tummy. And I'm like, I'm really happy about
that. And that gets you aroused.
Certainly does.
By yourself.
Well, Nick has had weight problems. Nick, how did you feel?
It's funny. I did get bullied at school for being overweight. So I can see both sides of this. This is my view on it. It's terrible to bully people for being fat and stuff. And I suffered that myself. It is terrible. On the flip side, it's not great for your health to be fat. So here's my slightly controversial probably view. I saw a thing going around called like fatitude, and it was like, hey, let's celebrate being fat, guys. And I was like, no, let's not, but let's not condemn it either. It's like there's no alcoholitude and there's no depressitude. There are problems like alcoholism. You don't want to say, get rid of those terrible alcoholics. You say it's not a great thing, but let's work with it. So I think it's the same thing. I don't think it should be celebrated. I think that's going too far. I think it should be acknowledged as like not condemned, but but not celebrated. Looked at with sympathy and then said like, but not pretend, not go so far into political correctness that you're saying now that being fat is actually something to be celebrated, because it's not.
Well, that's it. So obesity, carrot or stick, Rory?
How do you mean obesity, carrot or stick?
Well, does the state in its policies, does it exercise
not,
the carrot?
Not a carrot, they're obese.
They'll
am I right?
They'll eat the thing.
I don't know.
No, but I think nowadays, with schools and stuff like that, though, they're making people very aware of diet and what they're eating and what they should eat and the effects of... They've been very subtle about it because you can't go around calling people fat because it's not fair. As Nick said, it's like being bullied. But nowadays, they are giving people guidance to what should their kids eat first. I think if your kid is overweight, I think the parents have an awful lot to ask for.
Yeah.
It's the parents that are doing it.
But no, it's also the food company, isn't it? Sugar in the food
is
the biggest
kids,
evil.
Like, no kid is making their own food. No kid's got money to buy Coke. No kid's got money to buy ice cream. Yeah. The parents are stuffing their kids like little dusty bins. Do you know what I mean?
Little what? Little dusty? Is that dusty an Irish
bins.
Thing?
No. Yeah, we're doing all the contemporary references. We've got dusty bins.
It has, but then one stage O'Connor. Beyond that is the companies that are putting all the sugar
yeah,
in.
Yeah, man, but that's like, well. They're not going to be just like saying, they're selling the drugs, man, you know what I mean?
So that's the one drug I'm addicted to. I'm like you, I pretty much quit drinking. I don't do any kind of drugs, but the one I really struggle to come off is chocolate.
Ice cream.
Yeah, ice cream and chocolate in general. And it's the least cool one. As well, and no one believes it. I've said it on stage. I used to eat a tub of ice cream every night for ages, and it was costing me like a serious habit. And no one even believed me because I
how
wasn't
big a
that
tub,
fat.
Though?
I wasn't that fat because that was all I was eating.
Yeah.
Like a Ben and Jerry's standard tub, like
and every night.
Every night for weeks and months, and it's like with no joy, not enjoying it, just like plowing through it, going, "What am I doing?" And I still have a problem with that. That is something.
Well,
I'm
your addicts don't enjoy when they're shooting up or whatever.
No.
They just do it
when you're
it's
addicted
routine.
To something. I've been to. All sorts of, been in positions in my life where things have taken over, and you're never happy when that's happening.
That's such an oblique way of putting it. You probably mean drinking and stuff.
Yeah, whatever. If you're mad into drugs, you're not enjoying it.
No.
You enjoy the first time. If you take an ecstasy pill, you enjoy the first time you take it, or the first line of cocaine, you enjoy the first time you take it. But after like 20, 30 times, it's just taken over your life.
Well, I spoke to an addiction expert on the show a few months ago, and he was a heroin addict, and he said, if you're going to do heroin, which is obviously not advised, but if you're going to do heroin, he said, well, my advice would be to take it 3 times and then stop.
Yeah.
And I said, why 3 times? And he said, well, with 3 times, you won't be addicted. But if you make that decision, because the reason why is the 3rd time is the time when you get the best feeling from it.
Oh,
because it's like when the first two, it's like entry level. You're getting And the 3rd one is like hashtag amazeballs. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and then he said,
no one has said hashtag amazeballs after taking heroin.
And if they,
man, that's hashtag amazeballs.
Anyone that says that expression should
not be taking heroin.
Not
like.
Really, not ideally not. And he said that what happens is that when you get to 4, 5, 6, 7, and then your 100th, what you're trying to do is get the feeling of number 3.
You're chasing it, man.
Yeah, you're chasing number 3. And I think I found that with smoking, when I quit smoking, is that I enjoyed 1 or 2 out of every 10 cigarettes.
Whoa.
And I thought that's not a very good hit rate.
No.
Now, we've got a couple of other quick stories. That was surprisingly serious, but I like it when we can be serious. That's good. We're men of conscience. We've condemned pornography and drug use. Let's quickly talk about a couple of fabulous examples of the show Must Go On. This is our legend of the week. And as so-called entertainers ourselves, we can only acknowledge a pop star aged 29 who's called Irma Boole. She was bitten by a cobra on stage, which was part of the act. And she kept singing for 45 minutes, having been bitten.
But then she died.
And she delayed, collapsed and died on stage. Commitment to showbiz. God love this woman.
What the hell?
I mean, if anyone gets a blue plaque, it's Snake
Lady.
Yeah,
but did she... Had this happened to her before? Like, had the snake bitten her before?
No, she stepped on the snake by accident.
Wow.
Yeah, which apparently you're not supposed to do.
I think if you dance with the devil...
That's what you're saying. The comments were saying. I went through the comments. So many people just saying she's so stupid. Inevitably, it was very no sympathy with those people. And then someone had just written, "Don't play with fire," which is what you're saying. Did you see this? The expert put the cobra can kill an adult elephant and consume up to 1,000 kilograms.
Who are these
in 2
people?
Hours. Yeah, let alone a singer who maybe weighs less than 60 kilograms. I love
what
that.
What I love about it is how have these people got time to? Who,
I know. It's sad that she died, doesn't it?
But
oh,
these,
it's terrible.
These showbiz.
I really feel
stories.
Your pain there, Nick.
Next
time,
well,
it's not really a fun story, is it?
When you're at Jonglers Watford struggling with 3 stag deuce, think of the woman that was bitten by... But the reason why is because in Indonesia, there's a great appetite for singers carrying animals on stage while they're singing.
Where did this happen?
Indonesia.
Well, Britney Spears did it, didn't she, back in the day?
Yeah, but those snakes were...
Were they heavily sedated?
Yeah, man. Yeah. They weren't...
They were nearly...
It's like those monkeys when they're on holidays. Right. You want to take a picture of
they
the
forgot
monkey,
to correct. Defang the snake. That's the key, isn't it?
Yeah.
You must defang... Guys, listening at home, you must defang your snake.
Or just not play with snakes.
If you are going to sing with a snake.
If you think that you're finding your job hard ever as a comedian, just imagine being in Indonesia where it's not enough to just sing. There has to be a snake around your neck for people to engage.
Right. Yeah, people going, she hasn't even got a snake.
I mean, that's like, imagine the circuit gets so hard that when you're at Jonglers Watford, you've got to walk on with a lion just to quiet them down.
Jesus.
That would help at that gig, actually.
Yeah. It wouldn't be bad, would it?
Less heckles.
Last thing, and I probably need about 10 seconds from each of you on it. Is it so wrong to put kisses at the end of work emails? Where do you stand? Now, I know that if you send an email to your mum or your dad or whatever, it's kiss, kiss, kiss. Maybe close pals. But what about acquaintances?
I my position on that is no man should put a kiss at the end of a text or email.
That's a very Irish position.
Even what about but with your girlfriend or your mother?
No.
Even your mum?
What would you be kissing your mother for?
I think it's totally fine to put kisses.
Speak for yourself. Nick Dixon, I bet you kiss everything because you're completely camp.
Yeah, man. Put kisses at the end.
He's very metrosexual.
Be lighthearted about it. I think it's totally fine to put kisses. My friend had a policy that he always puts love, then his name, with two kisses, no matter who he's sending it to.
That's funny.
That's actually quite good. Yeah, it's just a good policy.
It's very cunning. It's been a cunning hour. It's also been a lot of fun. I'd like to thank Nick Dixon. Twitter handle, please.
At Nick Dixon with two X's.
There you go. And Rory O'Hanlon?
At Oro Hanlon Comedy.
See you next week.
You were going to go in it.
It's been real.